This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
We need a little help around here, don't we? Maybe that's a pretty appropriate song these days, Help, from the Beatles. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning, April 21st already. We are going to be talking in a couple of minutes with Tim Snowball of the Pacific Legal Foundation, and we're going to talk about the constitutionality of quarantines and face masks. Can they make you do it? Can they make you stay at home? Can they make you wear a face mask when you go out in public? We're going to talk with Tim about that. And three states now say they are opening back up. They want to get back out there. Now, is that a good idea? Or is it mortally dangerous? We are going to talk it over with the proprietor of Mainstream America's most important poll, the barber poll, Andrew Ceraci, the master barber. And there is now a report that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is gravely ill, that he apparently had some surgery, and he is fighting for his life. There are reports that is true. We are going to look into it. Because you never know, right? And in our ultimate top 10, if you were listening like a good little girl and boy yesterday, you know we had the top 10 worst names for girls. Well, we have the top 10 worst names for boys today. Ed, we'll find out if your name is one of them.
No, I don't think
so. I don't think so either.
I think Kim Jong-un had an overdose of Oreos is what happened.
You know, I would buy into that one. I would buy into that one. Apparently he had some surgery. But, you know, there are sources, there are supposedly credible sources that are saying in South Korea that things are fine. But then there are some equally credible sources that say, no, not necessarily. So we're going to look into that a little bit. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barber Shop. You know what? One of the first things I think they're going to open up when they open up things are beauty parlors and barber shops.
I agree.
And they got to do it. And I noticed that some of the states that are starting to open up, that's the first thing that they allow.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. And once they do, the very best place, and if you've never been to it before, you got to get there. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in Dunedin. It is just off State Road 580 on Overcast Drive. They have the nicest looking barbershop. It's so clean, and you will not find better barbers. They are so good. They're to the point of being artistic. Andrew's Master Barbershop, when things get back to normal, they're open Tuesdays through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Well, there is, you know, we're still in the brave new world, and I guess. I just saw this, Ed, this morning as I was getting ready to come in. That Kim Jong-un is gravely sick. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did, but they didn't say of what.
Right.
And I wonder how long they, you know, God forbid, I don't want to see something happen to him, but I wonder how long they would drag that out. I mean, unfortunately, I was, you know, young enough to remember Brezhnev, how they used to hide.
I remember Khrushchev.
He's laying in a box and he, Brezhnev has cold.
They
he
were
will be back, you know. He has cold sniffles, be back
yeah,
Monday.
Right.
And he's laying in a box.
He's deader than a doornail. Oh, yeah. This is what happens when you go behind closed doors in socialistic and communistic
and
countries.
Who,
very
and
true.
Who, and if something were to happen, who would be in succession for the
Apparently his sister.
His sister, really?
His sister.
I didn't think they would allow women to have that high of a...
Apparently, if you're a part of the Kim, the Un family or whatever, you know that he's the third
right.
in that
yeah.
family, right?
Yeah.
He's the third. They're keeping... It's all in the family there. It's all in the family.
Well,
because these
like...
people, you see, are half godlike to the citizenry. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
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 They're treated like gods.
Yeah.
So they're all part of the...
Well, if you don't, you don't.
You want to live?
Yeah.
Anyway, the U.S. is monitoring reports that suggest that Kim Jong-un is in grave danger. He went through apparently some surgery. This is according to some U.S. official that supposedly has direct knowledge. A second source has told CNN that the U.S. has been closely watching all of this. Now, Kim recently missed the celebration of his grandfather, who was the original, whatever they call him over there, the sun god or whatever it is. They got some godlike name for him. He missed the celebration of his grandfather's birthday, which was on April the 15th, and that raised speculation about his health. He had been seen 4 days earlier at a government meeting. Now, another official apparently says that the concerns about his health are credible, but that the severity is hard to assess. I guess, I wonder what Donald Trump is thinking right now when he hears that. Now, is he, you know, deep down, is he thinking, gosh, I hope he gets well because he's my buddy? Or is he thinking, boy, wouldn't it be nice if he didn't make it? I mean, either way, apparently, if he becomes incapacitated or doesn't make it, his sister is next in line. Apparently, Kim has knocked off some of his other relatives. So we get down to a point where if he's knocked, I think he knocked off a half-brother at some point.
Yeah, the whole thing with the airport. I guess if we see Dennis Rodman jump on a red eye, he must be seriously
That's
ill.
That's it.
Yeah.
In fact, I would not be surprised if he's the credible source.
Yeah.
Speaking about Rodman, he was on the Bulls team, one of the, you know, there were like three phases, I guess, and Rodman
right.
was in one of them.
Yeah, he left, came back, yeah.
Yeah.
There was we were talking about that. It was a documentary on ESPN right now.
They were as good a team as I have ever seen play with Jordan and Pippen and Rodman. I mean, they were like the three best players in the NBA at that time.
Yep.
Amazing team, yeah. So, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, very interesting conversation. Do you believe the quarantines and face masks are constitutional? We're going to talk with Tim Snowball and find out.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to tantalkhealth.com. That's tantalkhealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Tuesday. By the way, we are here on the Tan Talk Radio, Monday, Tuesdays, and Fridays, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And we are delighted to have back Tim Snowball. He is an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, something that's kind of in the back of our minds all the time during this pandemic, and that is, how much authority does the government have to the point of controlling our behavior in two ways? One, quarantining us, and two, making us wear face masks in public. Tim, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I think this is I can go on either side of either of these issues, I think, and make a good case. So let's start with the quarantine. And how far can go ahead? Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's historic times. You know, you look around, and I think you see the U.S. government, you see state governments, you see government taking actions that, before this, I think even 6 or 8 weeks ago, Americans would have looked around and said, you know, that could never happen. But of course, you know, with coronavirus now spiking, it looks like the government has been taking measures, I think, that are quite shocking. Closing schools, closing businesses, the shelter-in-place orders. I've got a friend from Australia who gave me a call and said, my God, you know, even people back home are watching the United States now, watching the protests that are going on, and, you know, still look at the United States as the bellwether for individual liberty.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's going on? I think the most important point to think of right up front is the difference between the powers that are given in the U.S. Constitution and the powers that were reserved for individual states. So at the time that the United States was founded with the U.S. Constitution, Congress has certain powers that are laid out in the first article in the Constitution. These are specific and narrow powers. Think of setting up post offices or regulating commerce, these kinds of things. What Congress lacks is a generalized power to regulate for public health or safety.
Tim?
That is a residual power left to the states.
Tim, I'm going to...
And that's why you've seen...
Tim, can you hear me?
Sure.
We are having an audio issue with you. You're breaking up quite a bit. We're going to do this. If you don't mind, we're going to ask you to hang up. We're going to call you back.
Let's see
if we can get a little bit of a better sound from you. So thanks, and we'll call you right back, okay? All right, good. We're talking with Tim Snowball, and you know, the issue of quarantining and face masks. And here in Florida, we are still under what amounts to a quarantine, unless you are going out to the grocery store, or in certain areas you can wander out to parks. Up in Jacksonville, Florida, you can go on their beach. Down here in Clearwater, not so much. But, you know, it's an issue that, let's be honest, people are wrestling with. Okay, we've got Tim back. Tim, let's try this again. I know you were eloquently talking a little bit about the Constitution and the quarantine situation. May I ask you to maybe get back to what the Constitution, in a situation like we are in, might allow either a governor or a president to do when it comes to quarantine behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry about that.
Not at all.
What I was saying was that you have, you know, a difference between the national constitution, between the U.S. Constitution, and the kinds of powers that states are given in a crisis like this. Actually, most of the what they call the police powers to regulate for public health and safety are actually left to the states, which is why I think it's interesting, you know, in our federal system to see, you know, each state governor and legislature deciding exactly what individual response they're going to have. And so this power to regulate for public health and safety is actually quite broad. California can take measures, arguably, that the federal Congress could never take to affect public health and safety. And so one of the ways, as you mentioned, that we've seen this manifest in the face of the coronavirus is the stay-at-home order, these quarantine orders. And you look back at U.S. history, and there are actually cases that have been decided at the U.S. Supreme Court dealing with these kinds of quarantines. Now, I think there are several things to keep in mind, however, that make this current situation with the coronavirus possibly different from those past cases. One of them has to do with timing. They can't just keep these quarantine orders in place in perpetuity. So that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on in terms of how long that this thing can last. You've already seen individuals coming out and using their free expression rights, using their free association rights and protest rights to push back on some of this. And I think that that's, you know, probably understandable. You can't just shut down the economy forever and expect people just not to work, not to be able to feed their families or take care of their homes. Another is scope. Every case at the U.S. Supreme Court where this kind of quarantine has been dealt with has always addressed a neighborhood or a city or part of a state. This is the first time in U.S. history that you're basically seeing almost a national stay-at-home order, so it's unprecedented in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the test for strict scrutiny to take into account. It's a very high bar for the government to step in and violate an individual right. The government, when they go to court for something like this with a lawsuit, has a high bar to overcome to show that this is a necessity. And there's questions about whether or not they'd be able to meet that test.
Right. Now, there's been some pushback between governors and President Trump about which one of them has the authority, in effect, to either open or close the state. And Trump says, well, ultimately I have it, but I'm going to allow the governors to make the decisions. And we will step in, I think he put it to some extent, we will step in if we don't think they are doing the right thing. So, Tim, does the Constitution specifically allow the president, in a case like a pandemic, you think, to overrule a governor?
No, I don't think that it does. Again, this goes back not only to the vertical system of federalism that the Constitution sets up, but also the horizontal system of federalism. While the president is commander-in-chief of the armed forces, of course, as we know, there's no presidential executive power in and of itself to step in and affect something like this. Of course, he could try to pass some type of executive order. Of course, that's within his purview to try to do something like that. But I think that it would be an unprecedented move in terms of the distribution of power between the president and the states. As I mentioned, you know, the states have this residual police power to regulate public health and safety that the federal government just doesn't possess. So even if Congress tried to pass a bill, again, while I can say academically that they don't have the power to do this, never put it past government to try to use a crisis to try
right.
something unprecedented, of course, or to expand their own power. I made this point to another colleague recently where I said, you know, you look back at American history, and James Madison pointed out back in the 18th century that the trend for government, unfortunately, is always going to be to expand power to the detriment of individual liberty. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yes, indeed.
And so when you look at a situation like coronavirus, and I think it's even more important now in the midst of a crisis to preserve and pay attention to the constitutional boundaries, even more important than it is during peacetime.
Right. We're talking with Tim Snowball. He is an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation, and we're talking about the constitutionality of quarantining people or wearing face masks. And speaking of face masks, we've got different states with different ideas about the face mask situation. In fact, this morning we read that the governors of three states, Tim, Georgia, Tennessee, and South Carolina, are planning to start opening up their states starting this Friday. But there are conditions where face masks are required, and there are conditions where you don't have to wear them. As an example, I may go to a store, and there may be a sign on that store that says, you may not enter without a face mask, right? Or in some cases, all of the employees of a store are wearing face masks. So let's just go right to the face mask constitutionality. Can a governor or a local mayor force me to wear a face mask in public?
So it's an interesting question. So let's play constitutional lawyer. Let's run this through the test, as I mentioned, for strict scrutiny. Let's say that someone files a lawsuit on this and says this is a violation of their rights to free association. The government's getting in the way of them freely associating. So if that were the case, the First Amendment would be implicated, and we would say the test for strict scrutiny applies. So in the two-step for strict scrutiny, the first thing the court will look at will be whether or not the regulation that's being challenged has what's called a compelling government interest. Does it rise to the level of a government interest that's so compelling that it justifies the possible infringement of a constitutional right? I think in this case it may meet that standard. We're talking about the balance between wanting to reopen the states and also prevent the further spread of the coronavirus, assuming that it's still running rampant in those states. And so public health and safety, it would seem to fall squarely within that power of the state to protect the public. So I think that first part for the compelling government interest would be satisfied. The second prong is what's called narrow tailoring. With narrow tailoring, it means that the regulation being challenged has to be perfectly measured. It can't be over-inclusive. It can't be under-inclusive. And so the question then would be, does a face mask, being imposed, is that being imposed on the public as a condition of engaging in private commerce? Does that meet the test for narrow tailoring? That's a more interesting question. It's more flexible, I think. You look at this coronavirus and you see certain specific subsets of the population who are particularly vulnerable, people who are a little on the older side, people with pre-existing conditions. And so considering how available testing is to determine whether or not someone in fact has the coronavirus, there might be an argument there for whether that the regulation, doesn't meet the test for narrow tailoring. So again, it's an open question, but I do expect to see lawsuits being filed on some of these questions. You've already seen, I know of at least one lawsuit out of San Jose, California, challenging the arbitrary closure of gun stores under the Second Amendment. I know that there's been another case filed here in California having to do with churches being ordered closed as a violation of free exercise rights. And so on the one hand, of course, this is a tragedy, an absolute tragedy with the coronavirus. But on the other hand, it will give us the opportunity to file some lawsuits like this and test the bounds of some of these orders. And that may come in handy down the road when it comes to the next crisis or next government action.
So will PLF, your organization, be representing people that might be filing suit about wearing a face mask, for instance?
I don't think anything is off the table. We have no plans to do so okay. At this point that I'm aware of. But of course, as what I consider to be the national watchdog for civil liberties and constitutional violations, I'm happy to talk to anyone about most any issue to see exactly what's going on with them and to consider the constitutionality of a particular order.
Right. Will you take a call from my buddy Ed here? Ed, what do you have to say?
I'm not going
to
call. I'm just going to ask him.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Tim, I was just wondering, let's hypothetically say the Governor Santis down here says that small businesses can reopen, but you must wear a face mask going into the store. Well, I've yet to be able to find a face mask down here. I actually ordered some for the NFL and paid a high price for them. But if you're going to ask somebody to wear a face mask in your store, would you not have to provide them? And then what would be the sense of just providing a face mask and not required gloves either, because they could be outside the store wiping their nose on their hand and then just walk in with a face mask and spread it with their hands.
Now, Ed, are you have the audacity to suggest that the government would do something inefficient or backwards? I can't believe it. I'm absolutely color me shocked. No, I think that you make a fantastic point, which goes to the heart of this entire situation, which is, if you're ever going to get a handle on the coronavirus and actually have an idea of what the actual numbers are and what's going on and the infection rate and the death rate and the spread and everything else, then you have to have access, give the public access to goods like face masks. You have to make testing more widely available. And so I don't have an exact answer for you, but I would assume that if the government were to take that step, they would have to also try to provide face masks for individuals. And again, to even put a more narrow point on it, I mean, you wear a mask out, shouldn't you be changing masks at some point, to be often? So, again, these are all open questions.
Right. Tim, kind of a final question. I mean, curfews, martial law, those have been ruled constitutional, have they not, down through the years? And is this not going to fall into the same category and the same logic?
I think the point to make with martial law is that you do look back, and so for your listeners who aren't aware, martial law is when they actually call in the troops. You have such a breakdown in the social order that they suspend constitutional protections and have the troops come in to protect life, liberty, and property because of such a breakdown in the rule of law. The only way to protect those things is to have the troops come in and keep order. It's only been instituted a few times in American history, and it's always been with such a situation where there's such a breakdown. Think the San Francisco earthquake of 1906 when a third of the city was leveled, riots, things of this nature. And so you have had governors like Gavin Newsom here in California step in and kind of casually throw out, if I wanted to declare martial law, that's something I could do that's in my power, which was just an outrageous statement. I mean, the justification has to rise to such a high level that individuals not listening to his stay-at-home order does not qualify. And so I actually wrote a piece on that criticizing our governor here because I found that to be an outrageous suggestion.
Yeah, talk about how power corrupts. That sounds like it. But how about a curfew? We've had curfews in certain neighborhoods and cities, certain ages, for one reason or another. Now, they've also been tested. Does a quarantine or a face mask sort of fall under that logic?
I think it would. I think, again, the most important distinction and the distinction that I've been pointing people's attention to is, and I encourage people to look into themselves, is this distinction between the powers delegated to the national government of the Constitution and the powers that are reserved to the states. The Constitution doesn't grant states power. I mean, the states pre-existed the founding of the United States, and so this residual police power is something that the states have held before there even was a United States. And the idea being, of course, to protect, to be able to directly legislate and regulate directly on people, on citizens. Now, this is a power that the national government is not supposed to have. Of course, we've had an expansion of the national government since the time of the framing of the Constitution, but at least as far as the text is concerned and the history is concerned, the president or Congress regulating the individual citizens, say in Massachusetts or Texas or anywhere else, was not a power that the national government was supposed to have.
All right. Tim, it is always a pleasure talking with you. You always bring some nugget of very striking and sterling information along with you. Thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Tim Snowball of the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're going to take our break, but when we come back, three states say they are opening back up. Now, is that a good idea or is it dangerous? We're going to talk it over with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
During these trying times, our troops need our help more than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the lives of our servicemen and women. So give the gift of life. Give blood. It's safe, simple, and saves lives. That's courtesy of RNC Auto and Truck Repair, your complete auto shop with quality work at prices you can afford. For a free estimate, call 727-447-3343. That's 727-447-3343 for RNC Auto and Truck Repair in Clearwater.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tan Talk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday morning on the Tan Talk Radio Network, and things are starting to open up in certain places. The governors of Georgia, Tennessee, and South Carolina yesterday said that new plans to bring their states' economies closer to full force are going to occur. Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia, he said certain businesses, including gyms and barbershops and hair salons, are going to be able to get open up, even massage parlors. Did you know that, Ed?
I think
now you can go back and get that massage.
That's what I'm looking forward to, and my toes done.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think they should open these places and just keep the same stuff, suggest that you wear gloves, suggest that you wear masks or whatever, stay 6 feet apart. Let these big places open up.
Yeah. So we got the proprietor of a barbershop pole, Andrew Ceresi, with us. Andrew, are you in? Do you buy into this, let's start opening up these businesses?
Of course I do, Paul. You got to be kidding me, you know?
I know.
The so far coronavirus, as a matter of fact, I think Kim Jong-un got the Chinese cooties.
We're wondering exactly what has hit the poor guy. He's been out of circulation
Well, it doesn't matter what he's got, because if he dies, it's going to be the coronavirus. Because you see, right now they're saying 40,000 people now have died
in the United States. In the United States, 41,000.
You know what? I'm going to say that probably less than half of that had the coronavirus, because I don't know if you've been reading it or not, but these hospitals, if somebody dies of the coronavirus, they get $13,000. Now, if they die with the coronavirus and they had to use, if they had to use a ventilator, they get $36,000. So everybody in New York has either died from the coronavirus, and they're all around ventilators, because you know New York is $6.2 billion in debt. The only way to get it back is $39,000 apiece.
I always marvel at these little nuggets of information you have found. Now, where did you hear that?
That is all over the computer.
Yeah, it's all over. I've seen it.
It is. Okay.
It's all over.
Uh-huh. So there's an incentive to label everybody that dies to have died from the coronavirus.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And if Kim Jong-un dies of the coronavirus, we should let Cuomo announce it.
Yes.
You know, Paul, listen.
Well, Cuomo's on all the time now.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
This has gone on long enough, buddy. This has gone on long, long enough. They see that it's, 1.2% mortality rate? Come on.
As a matter of fact, yesterday marked the lowest number of coronavirus deaths in the U.S. in 2 weeks. Did you know that?
That's
the
right.
Lowest in 2 weeks. So there is no question about it. Every indicator is showing that overall the number of fatalities, and in fact the number of people that apparently have the disease, are starting to come down. So now we got three states, and let's be honest, here in Florida, Ron DeSantis, I think, wants to start opening things up as well. Do you foresee that Ron, maybe in the next several days, is going to make an announcement we can start kind of getting back into circulation?
Well, Paul, you know, I hope that he does, because let's face the facts here. This flu might kill 40,000 people, maybe 45,000 people, if they all had it. However, I think a depression is going to kill a lot more.
Depression both economically and also psychologically.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about economically.
I know you
are. People like staying home from work. Let's be real. I'm kind of enjoying it.
Well, that's good.
I'm getting used to it.
You're getting too used to it. I need you back in, because I got to get a haircut. And I'm going crazy with this.
I'm beginning to feel like a Democrat. I'm waiting for my checks to come in the mail, and I don't have to work.
And here's what here's what I think. I think, Andrew, that you can actually open up your place, even if you don't want to come in and have the girls, and they can put on face masks, and maybe you can put a little sign out there that says, please wear a face mask and come on in. We'll give you a haircut. What do you think?
Well, Paul, you know, I know there's some girls out there that need face masks, but I think if I do that to my girls, it's going to hurt my business.
Oh, I know. You have such a no. You know, you have you have an attractive crew. I agree with you. They can make those see-through face masks.
Well, Paul, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring my bug sprayer in and fill it with chlorine.
Okay.
And we'll mist the air around everybody that walks in the door.
Okay. Of course, they'll be unconscious while you're cutting their hair, but still.
It's all right. Some people need to be that way, too. Paul, it's enough of this crap. And, you know, I'm starting to hear things about Durham peeking through the woods, you know?
Okay. Now,
think that this Durham investigation, once a couple of things come out with this, everybody's going to forget about the coronavirus.
So tell us, what is the Attorney General Durham cooking up?
Well, apparently there's going to be some indictments. He's checking out Brennan very, 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 very well.
Okay.
And you know, and if I think they nail Mr. Brennan, you're going to see a lot of people start talking.
Okay.
And, you know, I still believe that Trump knows what's going on with this coronavirus baloney. I mean, the new Biden ad, did you see that one? Biden saying how he's going to take care of the country and get us out of this hole that Trump put us into. And, you know, Trump knows what's going on. This was their insurance policy that Peter Stroke and Lisa Page were talking about.
We're talking with I'm sorry, Andrew. I just want to let everybody know that we're talking with a great intellect, Andrew the Master Barber, who has his hand on the pulse of mainstream America. So, Andrew, are you watching every one of these presidential briefings every day?
Oh, I watch them. I watch a lot of them, Paul. Sometimes I miss them because I'm occupied, but I've been watching all of them. And like I said, I believe President Trump knows everything that's going on with this, okay? And he knows, we had a virus here, but he knows it's a bunch of BS, too, that this was put in to take him down. But he's got to go along with this because the media was so powerful with it. If he didn't go along with it, it'd be political suicide.
Right.
But he's going along with it, and he's playing it out. He's doing one hell of a job, let's be real. He's doing one hell of a job with it, and I think that once this calms down, you're going to see things really hit the fan, Paul. There's going to be a lot of people accountable of what's going on here, and the people need to get back to work because we need to make some money.
There's no question about that. In fact, people are getting antsy. There's been some, they're rallying at different state capitals. You've seen those things going on now.
I saw them entering the state capitol all armed, and they let them in Kentucky.
Wow. So people are dying to get back out of their houses. The cabin fever has definitely set in. People want to get back to work. And there's a fear, and you mentioned this, depression. We can only go so long with our country completely shuttered.
You know, Paul, I got to laugh. I was talking to my brother Angelo yesterday. Now, you know, my mother was raised during the Depression. She was 10 years old. They were Italian immigrants. She was 10 years old, lived through the Depression. And they had nothing. They had nothing. My mother was so afraid of going hungry again that my basement as a kid used to look like a grocery store.
Wow.
Okay? But she would always tell me and my brothers, she'd get mad as hell at us, okay? Because we would sit there and waste this or waste that. She goes, you guys, you need to live through a depression, and that's going to teach every one of you a lesson. God, we need a depression. And she would tell me this right up to the day she died, the poor woman. And you know what? If she was alive today, she would say, you got it, didn't you?
Yes, she would, because now we are going through something that's kind of akin to it, aren't we? We're really starting to maybe appreciate all of the things we had before this occurred.
Yep. And you know, Paul, if people want to get even with China, let's face the facts. China's not going to put out no money for their damages. You want to get even with China, and this is going to be hard to do, but we've got to do nothing but buy U.S. products.
Well, I think, you know what? I think people, I've got a very open mind about that all of a sudden. I think this is just a thought here, but I think there is a worldwide condemnation of China. their government, what they have done, the cover-up, and trying to even make a profit off of it. Now, there are people, and I know we've talked about this with you, that actually believe that the government intentionally let this thing get out. I'm not sure that that's true, but I think either way, I think there's a real chance this Chinese government could collapse.
Well, you know, we've got to blame somebody. We're not going to blame Trump. We've got to blame the Chinese.
Well, I think they deserve the blame, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. There's no question about it. No question about it. And like I say, the only way around it, Paul, is going to be buy American.
I think people are willing to listen to it now. I think, and Trump's been talking about that ever since he got into office. Once we get things back up and running again, which we hope will be soon, I think. And then there are those companies that are pulling out of China or announcing that they will pull
out of
China.
That's right. Well, you're going to see a lot of this go on. You know what really amazed me with these moron singers the other night? They're doing a benefit show for the World Health Organization. The freaking guy that's ahead of it is nothing but a terrorist. I was watching Hannity last night. They broke this down guy. He's a nutcase. He's a terrorist. Trump stopped funding them, and these moron singers donate $55 million to him. Why didn't they donate to the people that needed it?
Exactly. I didn't even hear about
the American people. Let me tell you something. We can be invaded by aliens, and these freaking liberals will join the alien armies.
It's really weird that they would get up there and did they really raise that much money? I wonder who would give them that much money.
$55 million they raised.
For the World Health Organization.
Yeah. You
got to
be kidding me.
I can't believe it.
That's how stupid they are. And I'm telling you, if they had to depend on me, they'd be working at the McDonald's drive-through window, believe me.
I wouldn't even allow them to do that.
You know, it just disgusts me, Paul, to see what they do. You know, charity begins at home. You want to help our poor American people here that are starving.
Really?
That need the work. Not these people, the World Health Organization.
By the way,
Donald
Trump wants to completely shut down immigration. Do you buy into it?
Of course I buy into it. We got 14 million illegals here. Let's take care of them first. Get rid of them and open up for the right ones to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think people have an open mind about it now. You know, the whole thing about the immigration crisis going back since Trump came in, all of a sudden people are going, you know what? Donald Trump wanted to close those borders. That doesn't look so bad an idea right now.
Well, let me tell you something. Everything that Donald Trump talked about when he was campaigning, you're going to see happen, Paul. And it's happening a little bit of time, feeding the people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping to hell that once this Durham investigation comes out, once the real truth comes out, what was done by these slime bags with Hillary Clinton and Ann Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, when these slime balls and the truth comes out of what happened with them, I think you're going to see the American people really turn against
them. Wow. Well, all I can say, Andrew, is I cannot wait for your barbershop to open up. I'm going to be your first customer. I am not kidding.
I will let you know. How's that?
That's fair. You do that, my friend, and I can't wait. Anyway, thank you so much, my friend. We'll be talking with you again on Friday.
You got it, buddy. Be good.
Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, there's a rumor his first day open, he's going to be serving drinks in a buffet.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I think it would be very much fun for people, you know, downing drinks and grabbing things from a buffet table while he's trying to cut your hair. Now, that would work out real good.
Mm-hmm.
That would work out real good.
While wearing gloves and a mask.
All right. We're going to take our break, our final break. And among other things, when we come back, the 10 worst names for a boy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender.
Did you know, Ed, that you could go to the gas station right now and that it actually, apparently, the price of oil is dropped to below zero? Have you heard about that?
Was it $39 or something like that? $39 below zero, something like that?
$37 below. Mm-hmm. That means that they would pay you to take their gas. That's what it would mean. What is going on?
Well,
and do you think the prices will drop now at the pump again?
I think they'll go down a little bit more until the country opens back up, and then everybody's going to complain when we're at $1.50 a gallon. It's going to shoot up to $2.
I want it to go to under a dollar a gallon.
I don't think it'll get that low.
Don't you? You know that it's actually gotten there in certain places. They've actually sold it for less.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't remember exactly where it was, and I don't think it's around here in Florida, but somewhere along the way. Anyway, before we go to our top 10, I wanted to talk a little bit. We want to get off the coronavirus thing, right? I mean, we're all getting tired of that. So let's talk a little sports, Ed. I mean, we don't have any sports. We should be watching.
We got the draft coming up Thursday.
We got the football draft coming up, and we got baseball should have started. Mm. We should be able to talk about the Rays here locally. So let's talk a little bit about Tom Brady, because is Tom Brady down here now? Has he moved down or what?
Yeah, he actually rented what's his face's house over in Tampa?
A baseball player's?
What you, Derek Jeter's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's renting that?
Yeah.
Holy cow, that thing is
cool. $75,000.
That has its own zip code.
$75,000 a month.
Is that all?
It's 30,000 square feet. I went over and I did a drive by on the weekend. Yeah.
Took some it probably takes
of
it. 10 minutes to drive by.
Yeah. It's nice.
That's huge.
Yeah, big.
So, what's going on? Is he able to go out and practice or what?
Well, I was a little annoyed today because I opened up the Tampa Bay Pravda, otherwise known as the Times.
And it wasn't today's paper because they didn't have one.
Well, it's the electronic version.
Oh, excuse me.
It's out.
Yeah. By the way, it's no longer a newspaper. When you get it delivered, it's a pamphlet.
Yeah. Okay. So it says, and it was on the front page of the electronic, Tom Brady was thrown out of a park by a Tampa recreational worker. Now, when I read that, thrown out to me is grabbed by the arm, escorted by police, whatever. Well, that's not what happened. So, to make things quick, and actually Jane Castor, the mayor of Tampa, was on a Twitter thing with the mayor of St. Pete, Kreisman, and this is what she said towards the end. Listen to this, and this is where they basically got things a little wrong. Listen to this. Oh, that's not it. Hang on. Here we go.
And she went over to tell him that it was closed and it was Tom Brady.
So, oh, my goodness.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
He has been cited.
So they took that. He has been cited. They took that as he was written a citation, thrown out and written a citation. To me, that's like, wow, here's a guy you want to welcome to your city and you cite him a ticket? For being in the park, really.
Crazy.
Well, what happened was these news organizations spelled cited wrong. Instead of it, what they did was cited, C-I-T-E-D. It was should be S-I-G.
He was cited.
There's been
as
a Tom
the
Brady sighting.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that funny?
So they ran with it. And even the NFL Network put a thing on there. The Times was wrong. He has not been issued a citation. I called Bay News 9 because they're running a story saying he was thrown out, he was kicked out, and he was given a citation. I talked to the news director. She's like, no, he was given a citation. I said, no, do your work. Go back and look at the story again. Call Jane Castor when she said he was cited, meaning there was a sighting of Tom Brady finally because this is the first they've seen of him since he's moved in.
So you had mentioned real quickly the draft. The football draft. Are they going to go ahead with a football draft?
They are, and it's going to be a virtual draft. So they're going to be Zoom screens everywhere. And Roger Goodell is going to do it from his basement.
The NFL commissioner.
Yeah, so he makes $50 million a year. So I want to see what a basement of a $50 million, million-dollar man a year looks like.
Yeah, it's probably a two-block basement.
Yeah, uh-huh. And so everything will be virtual.
Okay.
And then they're going, they have a couple of...
when does that start?
It's a Thursday, I believe, at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And the top 20 picks that they believe will be the top 20 picks, there are different news organizations that are at those players' houses, and they'll do a virtual thing from there.
ESPN?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Ed. Thank you very much. All right, my friend. Now you got to get over to the drums, because... Yesterday, Ed, I bet you can't even remember what the worst name for a girl was. Let's see if you remember.
I thought Blakely was the worst.
Yeah, it was one of the worst. Yeah. I agree. But remember what the number one was?
No.
Was Shy.
Shy.
Shy. S-H-Y was Shy. And anyway, now we're going to do the top 10 worst names for boys. Again, it comes from parents.com. Don't tell me how they came up with it. But wait till you hear some of these names, Ed. Here we go. Number 10.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Stylas. Now, it's spelled S-T-Y-L-E-Z. Stylas.
Okay.
What in the heck does that mean? Stylas. Okay. Number 9. Danger.
Danger?
Danger.
Okay.
Hey, Danger. Come on in. It sounds like a dog's name. That, to me, it sounds more like...
Austin Danger Powers.
Yeah, but this is the first name.
Okay.
All right. Number 8. Cletus. Cletus. C-L-E-T-U-S. I've heard of that
before. That's a southern name.
Yeah, and in fact, there is a St. Cletus. Did you know that?
No.
There was a school up north. I knew about it.
There was a TV show where somebody had a Cletus on there.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Number 7. It sounds good, but wait till you hear how it's spelled. Xavier, but listen to the spelling. Can you imagine spelling it this way? X-X-A-Y-V-I-E-R.
Well,
I would never want to write my name.
If you're going to give somebody that name, I guess you should give it a unique spelling.
That's not only unique, that's downright criminal.
Easy to find him on Facebook.
Yeah. Number 6. Pinches. Hi, Pinches. I don't think so. Especially if you want to be a He-Man.
Yeah, I think
Pinches ain't going to do it.
You're kind of painting that picture.
Yeah, a little light in the loafers. Okay, number 5. Manson. M-A-N-S-O-N. Manson.
Yeah, that's a bad name.
That's like being called Hitler.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Manson?
Yeah.
I think you only do that if you don't like your kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 4. Axis. A-X-I-S. Axis.
Okay.
You can make fun of people by changing a few of those letters, by the way. But Axis? What the heck? You know, like the globe spinning on an axe?
Right.
Yeah, okay, that's it. Number 3. Cub. Cub. C-U-B. Now, that works when you're a little boy. Not so much when you're 45 years of age, though.
Cub.
Cub. Hey, Cub. I guess you could.
I would just, is that his nickname? You know.
It sounds more like a nickname, yeah. Number 2. Hugo. Y-U-G-O. Hugo!
Sure. Why not name him one of the worst, crappiest cars ever built?
Just call him Volkswagen.
Yeah. Or Ford Pinto.
Okay, wait till you hear number 1. Here we go, roll the drum.
No idea.
King Messiah.
Oh.
Messiah.
Is that one word?
One word. K-I-N-G-M-E-S-S-I-A-H. How would you like to go around with that for a burdensome name, King Messiah?
Oh,
I mean, if you ever did anything wrong, can you imagine how you
It was King teased? Messiah's.
It was King Messiah's fault.
I guess if you're like a basketball player, King Messiah dribbles down the middle of the floor.
Remember the one God's gift? There was a guy's name? God's gift? Oh, my God.
He hate me.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, we're going to be back on Friday. Be safe out there, and always remember, freedom works.